Sergeant Betsy Brantner Smith, spokesperson for the National Police Association. When you hear Congressman Jason Crow say that because some people decided to do evil things and shoot people, kill people, is that a uniquely American problem?
Well, Congressman Jason Crow immediately runs to a microphone whenever there's a shooting. Just a couple of days ago, he was talking about trying to pass legislation in Colorado disallowing anyone who walks into a place of worship carry a gun. And this was his response to the shooting at the Lakewood Church, Joel Osteen Church in Houston. Jason Crow wants to take away your guns. If you, if you want to get rid of guns in this country, I'm sorry, but that ship has sailed. What we need to do is prosecute and imprison people who commit gun crimes and stop talking about gun control. People who are going to shoot up a crowd of merrymakers, for example, like what happened today, are not going to follow gun laws. They didn't follow. It's against the law to shoot into a crowd. It's against the law to kill people. You know, there, we have plenty of laws. We just don't use them. And that's, I think, is one of the problems in Kansas City is, are we prosecuting criminals to the fullest extent of the law? The mayor ran on safety, but he also ran on police reform. He ran on housing reform. He took about a fifth of his police budget away from the police in 2021, reallocated it. That's another way of saying defunding. He reallocated it to social services and things like that. You know what happened? Homicides doubled last year from 2020. Right now, the mayor's changing his tune a little bit. I think it was a few days ago, he asked in his new budget for an increase for police recruit hires. He's asking for a 30% increase. And a starting police recruit, they only start at $50,000 in Kansas City, Missouri. He's asking that to be raised to $65,000 because they have a shortage of police officers and they have a critical shortage of 911 dispatchers. And the police chief, she talked about this, Stacey Graves. One of the first things she talked about today in the press conference was how her officers ran toward the shots.
Yep, which cops often do. Folks, we're on with Sergeant Betsy Brantner Smith, and we're going to continue our discussion on what's going on with crime and policing in the United States. We just saw today one of the guys that beat up the cops in New York City famously about a week ago. This guy got arrested again for stealing, this time in Queens. Don't go anywhere. Coming right back.
HD2
is that we know that these people are not just stealing because they're hungry, stealing because they need to.
Monday. To find a store near you, visit sleepnumber.com.
A judge initially freed without bail after the beating of two NYPD police officers in Times Square.
There's a report on this, and what's interesting here, the website for the National Police Association, Sergeant Betsy Brantner Smith, like always, great conversation. I appreciate your time tonight. Godspeed to you.
Thanks, Rich, so much. Great to talk to you. Can't wait till next time.
Amen to that. Hopefully under better circumstances.
A judge initially freed without bail after the beating of two NYPD police officers in Times Square.
There's a report on this, and what's interesting here is that we know that these people are not just stealing because they're hungry, stealing because they need to feed their families. They're stealing a loaf of bread. No, these are professional thieves, right? These are crews that have been robbing people since they lived in Venezuela, and now they're here in New York, and they're doing it here because they know that they can get away with it. And I think that was famously pointed out on CNN, of all places, where their legal analyst pointed it out. Out, and the hosts were flabbergasted, jaw-dropping. All they could say was, oh. Sergeant Betsy Brantner Smith is the spokesperson for the National Police Association. And Sarge, when you hear that, what's your reaction to this?
Well, this 19-year-old man should still be in Rikers Island awaiting trial. But he was released, and he went back right out to doing what he does, which is, gang activity that involves stealing high-end merchandise. Here's the thing. In my native Chicago, the arrests of Venezuelans has since in 2023 was up 2,500%. Since 2021, it's been up 11,000%. Now, this isn't because Venezuelans are born criminals. This is because in sanctuary cities, thanks to the Biden administration, Venezuelans were given sort of super citizen or super immigrant status. And so what is happening is they are emptying out their prisons. They are coming here and they are engaging with our street gangs. They're rivaling MS-13 right now for the amount of gang activity, serious criminal activity that they're involved in. And how do you stop this? Again, you put them in prison. There are laws against everything that this 19-year-old man did. He should have never been out, but we have lax bail laws. You've got a Manhattan prosecutor named Alvin Bragg who is more concerned with his own political career than he is stopping crime in the Manhattan district. And people are paying for it, and businesses are paying for it. And we're going to lose retail establishments in areas where they are so needed, because business can't continue on like this.
You know, Sergeant Betsy Brentner-Smith, when I hear these reports coming through television or radio, and I hear your comments, all I can think of is, honestly, it echoes in my head. They're rapists, they're criminals, bad hombres. and they criticized former President Trump so much for saying those things. And he doubled down recently and said, you know, the same thing. And I spent a few days at the beginning of the year, first week of January, in Medellin, Colombia. And I was talking to one of the cab drivers that was driving me around, and he was from Venezuela. And he was telling me how difficult things are, how crazy things have gotten in Venezuela because of communism. And this has forced many people to leave, including the criminal element, to find their way to commit more crimes in neighboring Colombia. And if that's a problem they're facing and they're right next to each other, one can only imagine that the problems we're going to face when people make a trek from all the way over there, straight across the Rio Grande, straight across the United States, really, right? You've got to get from Texas all the way up to New York City to do these types of things. And that's exactly what's happening. And I feel like, I don't know, like I'm in the Twilight Zone almost, where it seems clear as day to me. If you've got Venezuelan gang members that are known to steal and beat people and do what they're doing, today a cop was cut with a machete, or a week ago, a few days ago, within a week, NYPD officer. Crazy. I mean, just what I'm hearing and seeing is absolute insanity. It's like bedlam on the streets, yet I don't hear a ton of it being reported, and I feel like the general population just is clueless to it.
Well, you're right about that, and a lot of that is because of irresponsible journalism. You know, thank God we have people like you who actually talk about real facts and real issues. But we have a lot of journalists who will not talk about these issues. I see it locally here in Tucson, Arizona, where I live. We're one of the epicenters for illegal immigration, and yet our local media doesn't like to talk about it enough. Another thing we have, Rich, is people don't remember when this happened before. You're too young to remember, I'm pretty sure. The Mariel boat lift in 1980, that was the year I was a very young police officer, where we had this mass immigration of Cubans, and it wasn't, again, it wasn't the best and the brightest. It was emptied out prisons, emptied out insane asylums, and we paid for it with violent crime for a very long time. We got a handle on that violent crime in the 90s. We are right back. It's Groundhog Day all again for the United States. I just don't think a lot of people remember it. And, of course, in the United States, we're lousy about looking back at our history and learning from it.
You know, Sarge, you're right. I don't remember that. But I did grow up around that, right? I was 2 years old in 1980. But I do remember growing up with a bunch of Cubans in Union City, New Jersey, who would constantly it was a pejorative to call someone a Marielito, which meant you came
the
Mariel boat lift. Right?
Marielito. It was an insult.
Right.
Yes.
If a Cuban called another Cuban a Marielito, it was because you were acting, you know, ghetto, right? You were just misbehaving. Mm-hmm. It was wrong. And you know, I grew up hearing these terms, and I always thought it was just interesting. And I've had, you know, in that culture, Union City, New Jersey, the Cuban culture, they oftentimes would pull me aside and be like, oh, you're Puerto Rican. You don't know about this, but let me school you on it. And they would. And they would tell mm-hmm. me about how these people were the least desirable in Cuba, and Fidel Castro wanted to get rid of those people. So since the United States is willing to make a deal and accept these refugees, why not? And they sent us their absolute worst. And it was well known in the Cuban community. It seemed like it just fell on deaf ears in other places. And here we are, I don't know, a million years later, and we're doing the same exact thing. And I honestly can't wrap my head around it. I'm sure there's a lot of people with a lot of speculation as to why it happens, the political implications and rationale for it. But ultimately, I think it's the people that lose, right? And the public safety that loses. And do you see life light at the end of the tunnel, Sarge?
Well, you know, I'm an optimist, and I do see light at the end of the tunnel. We are seeing a lot more support for law enforcement. We're seeing a lot more support for law and order. People are tired of it, Rich. People are tired of being afraid. They're tired of being scared when they drive their car, and they worry about being carjacked. They, you know, are worried about taking their kid to school and is there going to be a shooting. People are exhausted, but they have got to take that frustration, that exhaustion, and transfer it to the ballot box. We've got to bring in political leadership that is willing to do something about true law and order, true safety. And, of course, we need to have true immigration controls here in the United States. Right now in the southern border, as I sit here 80 miles from it, we are not in control of the southern border. The Mexican drug cartels are in control of our southern border, and that should not be the case.
I agree with that 100%. And from your lips to God's ears, there's some sort of solution there, something actually happens. There's days I wake up and I'm ready to take on the world, and then there's days I wake up and I think, you know what? We're outnumbered here. We're outnumbered between Biden, Mayorkas, every last person that they've, you know, got doing their dirty work at the border, and it becomes frustrating at times. And you hear these stories of cops, and I was at a family funeral recently and spoke with a cop, NYPD guy, 16 years on the job, and he was just like, man, you know, I don't quit because I'm on for too long, but I can't wait till it's my time. You know, he I think he was on a contract for 20, and he had four more years ago. And it's just very disheartening to hear that, that's the case, but that's where we are. Sarge, let everybody know how they can find you and follow the great work you're doing.
So go to nationalpolice.org, nationalpolice.org, and you can see all the great work that this charity, and we are a charity, that we do to support the American law enforcement officer as well as the people who support us. You can find us on Twitter at @NatPoliceTheSos. You can find me on Twitter at Sergeant Betsy Smith, SGT Betsy Smith. You and I follow each other. And take a look at us on Facebook as well. We have a great YouTube channel, and we are doing great work for not just for law enforcement officers, but for law and order in the United States.
Well, amen to that. And Sarge is right. I do follow her. She's a good person to follow. Make sure you follow her, too, online, and check out the website for the National Police Association. Sergeant Betsy Brantner-Smith, like always, great conversation. I appreciate your time tonight. Godspeed to you.
Thanks, Rich, so much. Great to talk to you. Can't wait till next time.
Amen to that. Hopefully under better circumstances.